Acts chapter 17.
Mungula majidido yatu mwi chapter 17
verse 31.
Vesi ya 31 ndimene tikulunjika apo masana wano.
Will be the focus and center of our discourse today.
Tiyangana kwambiri pa vesi ya 31 pamene nkhani yakuli kuchokera.
I hope some of you have Bibles.
Ndili chikuru wena mwa inu mulina mabuku ochita Bible. Mwana ma Bible.
No one has Bible?
Ndimene Bible ngumano. The one who has the Bible is the one also. Some of these ones which are absent.
Listen carefully. Acts chapter 17, verse
31.
Because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. Wherefore he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead.
Chifukwa anapangira tsiku limenero adzaweruza dziko lokhala mwanthu mchilungamo ndi munthu amene anamukiratu nampatsa anthu onse chitsimikizo pamenepo anamukitsa iye kwa kufa.
Does anyone need us to read it again?
Aibona kwa front mamino tawerenge sukabiri tibweze. It's clear.
The unknown God.
Mulungu osadziwika.
If you've heard the reading of God's word,
tamva kuwerenga kwa mawu.
You heard how Paul went into Athens.
Mukudziwa amene Paulo adayendera kupita ku Atene.
To one of the cities.
Ndikumi mizinda ina kumenewo.
And as Paul came in, he had some observations.
Ndiye Yesu Paulo rafika kunzinda amene u adazindikira zinthu zina.
He looked at the different worship methods.
Adaona mbembezero ya anthu kumene kumene apembezera.
And there was very many.
Ndiye adali anthu ochuluka.
And first he spent some time.
Ndipo Paulo kumene kwa adatenga kunthawi sadachedwa anakhalisa kunthawi.
He observed different altars.
Ndamaona maguwa amene amangidwa kumene kosiyana siyana.
Different ways of worshiping.
Mene anthu apembezera yawo apembezera mbembezero osiyana siyana.
It's much like today.
Mungasimese machitika lero lino.
You see, because there are so many different ways to worship.
And
there is so much ignorance in our day. So many altars in our village today. What kind of altars does this village have? Where are the altars in this village? As I pass by, I see so many.
Meni madusa ndaona rambiri mbiri milungu.
I see the altar of money.
Ndaona ntena anti milungu rao rupembeza ndalama udali ndalama.
Worshipping.
Kuidali ndalama ngati mu ndalama ni mulungu ndito.
And you will recognize that. What don't we try to do for money?
Ndipo wena amafika pano nena kuti ndichani padziwa basi mesi ndingachita ndipeze ndama chinyi chiyo sandikoza kuchita.
How many of you are worshipping the God of money? You say, what do you mean? How many of you will do things that are not right to get some money? It could be through bribery. It could be through stealing. And it could even be through idolatry.
Sometimes for 2,000 kwacha.
How many women will take in a man for 1,000
kwacha?
In this village. You see, so now it doesn't just become some kwacha. But it becomes my God.
It's
whereby I live and breathe from. And how many young men will think of schemes together, either for stealing, for robbery, or bribery? How many villages have the God of money? Maybe a relief aid comes into the village. 50 or 100 bags of corn. And some leaders of the village. They say, How can we do this? They make a plan. When the truck comes, you and me will work together. We will be the organizers of the aid. 50 bags are coming. And we will make sure the families come. We will take 20 bags. Then we will give one bag to 30 families. They won't say anything. Otherwise, they won't get the corn. Then we will sell the corn and keep the money. But he finds out. He has found out.
What's in the
come in.
Tabula.
We'll do with the three of us. We are together. So you see how money becomes our God.
Now, maybe
some of the women here think, ah, that doesn't affect us. But think about it. Money becomes our God. How many families come? How many families come?
And
come. How many families come for corn distribution? And suddenly, if there was one wife. And two daughters. Suddenly the family is five. And you go and you get your bag of corn. But you make sure your family is in the line. They say one bag for family. But four of your family members are in the line.
What?
Also, how much does it happen? Where we get a list of how many families are in the church. For aid purposes. And then 80 families. How does 80 families fit in this little building? Wow, it's a very big church. 80 families. You see how far it goes. Because this God can be money. Covetousness. Greed. That's what you live off of. That's one altar. And it's a big altar in our villages. But Paul goes a little bit further. And he sees another altar. And he reads the description. This altar is an altar of witchcraft. This altar is an altar of witchcraft. And this God is also very strong in our village. For the witchcraft house is nicer than the church. And more people are visiting her than the church pastor. Soon as problem comes in the family, quickly go to the witchcraft doctor. You see? But we don't pray. No, the witch doctor has to help us. And tell us. And the witch doctor becomes popular. And provided you have money, you'll give witch doctor 10,000
kwacha.
But 100 kwacha in the offering, ah! You see? Another God Paul came across. Witch doctor, tell me, who did this in my life? Who messed my life up? I see someone 2 years ago in your life. You see, you say, but in church, you see, you see how strong this God is? And Satan is the one who is feeding it. Paul sees so many different gods. The God of food. Never enough. More food. As long as you have food, you're happy. If you don't have food, you're angry. But the bread of life, the Bible, not so hungry for this. Who eats sima? No time for the Bible. No time for the bread of life. But give me more food. Local chicken for relish. Everybody's happy. The Lord Jesus Christ, the living bread. Don't make it too long. You see how many gods are in our life. Sometimes we have things on our belt or in our pocket. Jewels or things that act that we trust in. And you're so sure that it protects you. But Jesus Christ or God, He doesn't protect you. You see. How many gods in our life? Sometimes our husband or our wife is our God.
Pena mamulago onkazago umaze kukumpembeza kukundungunyira ninga mulungu.
Or our mother or our father.
Pena mayago bambwa uba hili mwana nafuna kukumulisha hili mwana nakubilia kubana.
Become our God.
Ama kangari mungu wako pene.
And we put all our trust in mother or father.
Wanguru wa kubira wami mayago ni bambwa wako. Aka mungu wako. Mungu wa miwala.
We could spend the whole day looking at all the gods.
But
we're going to pass by some other gods now. Because we want to get to the what the Bible tells us. The text. Suddenly Paul stops. And he says, he sees the inscription. And it says to the unknown God. The unknown God. And it's an altar. Of course, not so many people are there. And it's not you very used very much. But every once in a while they bring an offering to the unknown God. And someone says to another person, why are you bringing offering to the unknown God? Some children ask. And they say, we don't know this unknown God, but just in case he exists, we have to give him something once in a while. How much does that look like our days today? How many of you come every once in a while on Sunday? And most of the time you're too busy. You have to do the laundry. And it happens to be Sunday. You have to do your fishing. Or working at a Lovo. Big jobs. Or you have to plant your corn. Or all of these things you have to do. And you say, I don't have time for church today. But every once in a while, you say, I better go today. It's been 4 or 5 weeks. I better give God a little bit of worship. You see, this is our life. This is our life. We worship the unknown God. And just in case he's real, we give him a little bit of worship. Because many of you don't have a Bible. But let's be honest. Most of you don't need a Bible. Or don't want a Bible. Now let me ask you something. You say, no, we want a Bible. But let me ask you something. And be honest. When I go to the market in town, then I see lots and lots of new loppers. I see lots of new radios. Lots of clothing. Shoes. And cups and plates and on. Then I go to the market. And they say, excuse me. Can you tell me who sells Bibles here? No Bibles here. You can't buy Bibles here. Why not? Really? Because nobody wants them. If I come to the village market on Saturday tomorrow,
And I
have stacks of Bibles.
And I say, free.
It's because there's an unknown God we are
worshiping.
This unknown God I want to tell you about. I want to tell you more about the unknown God. Before many people know the name God, and a lot of people know the word Jesus Christ. You recognize that word? Many people talk about it, Jesus Christ. But this is the unknown God I want to tell you about. I want you to search your heart today and be drawn to this unknown God. For Paul is preaching to them the unknown God. And they were listening. All the way until Paul told them about the resurrection of the dead. But Paul began to tell them who this God really was. This unknown God, do you know him? Do you know who he is? While you're worshipping all the other gods in your life, do you worship this God? The unknown God? Ignorantly? Do you give this God a little bit of honor? Just in case he gets angry with you. Just because you have a little fear, what if this God is real? What if this God is true? Now I want to tell you about him. For this God is the one and true and only living God. And Paul says this. God is this God, this unknown God, is the God who is your creator. He created you. He formed you. He gave you life. He sustained you. He gives you everything you need. This is the God, creator of heaven and of earth. And this God has the power over money. This God has the power over witchcraft. It's the only God you need to know. And sadly, he's been so unknown. Because of all the distractions of the other gods in your life. This God is not made of gold or silver. This God is not just a God of one thing. So many people have a God of rain. Or of happiness. Or of sexual immorality. But this God, he has created all things. This God is all powerful and almighty. And he's closer than you believe. For the unknown God has dwelled among us. And the unknown God, his eye is on you all the time. This God's eye is on you all the time.
Children.
He's watching you.
Everywhere you go. But worse, or even more, this God knows your mind. Knows your thoughts. Even while you're conceiving them. He's far closer than you think. And these people at Athens, they didn't know him. They didn't understand that there is one God who created everything. For we read in verse 25, neither is worshipped with man's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth all to all life and breath and all things. Paul is trying to tell the people, he doesn't need you. Paul is trying to tell the people, he's the God of rain, of sunshine. He's the God of seed, of harvest. Man, you'll think maybe I'm a good farmer. But you never remember that God created the seed, gave the harvest, gave the rain, gave you the strength to till the land, gave all of the things you need. And then you know what's on top of that? Then you take the kernels of corn
out,
and not a single kernel falls without God's knowledge. This is the God that we're so ignorant of. And we have a storm come through. And we have floods. And maybe your house is damaged. And what do you do? I just built it. Government! Hey! And you don't realize that God is also the God of the storms. That God is the one who sent the storm in your life. Why? Why does God do that? Because he wants you to not no longer be ignorant and pay attention. Because he's still ignorant to so many people. We don't acknowledge him. We throw an offering to the altar every once in a while. And God says, I will send calamity into your life. I will send trial into your life. Family. I will send storms in your life because you won't acknowledge me, because you won't see me and don't want to know me because you're still ignorant to me. But he's not doing that to punish, but he's doing that to show you who he is. For this God is all powerful and almighty, and he has totally control over your village. And you say, no, he doesn't have control over my life. I'll do what I want. And you know what he says? Not a hair falls from your head without his knowledge. People, this is the ignorant God I'm preaching to. But this God is not alone. He has a son.
But we read in our text verse this. And this is why we must pay attention to this ignorant God. Or to this unknown God, I mean. He says, Paul is telling them about the unknown God for a reason. He's not just giving them a school lesson. He's saying this God is coming to judge the living and the dead. And he says, because he hath appointed a day. So, the first thing we know here, that there's coming a day. God, this unknown God, has appointed or made or arranged for one day. We're all going towards that day. Now you say, but what day? If you're getting married, you might set a date. You may say, on such and such day, we're getting married. And everything works towards it. This is what he means. He's appointed a day. For what? He says, he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness. He's appointed a day where he's going to judge the whole world. Now, judging the world is in itself a very tremendous statement. But go with me. In what are we going to be judged? He's coming to judge this whole world. And he's going to say, you're next. You're coming before me. That's what a judge does. A judge stands behind. And he makes a judgment on the person. If you are coming to court, and you are accused of murdering someone, then you would come before the judge. And the judge would take all of the evidence and pronounce you innocent or guilty. So you understand. So he's made an appointment for your life. He's appointed a day where you're going to be judged. And each one of us separately. Now, what is he going to judge? What do you have to come to the judge for? Do you know? Do you know what you need to be judged for? He's going to judge you if you're a sinner or not. If you're guilty or not. It's very simple. You're going to come, and all the evidence of your life is going to be written here. And each day of your life will be opened. And he will look. And he will, on a page of such and such a day of your life, it says, you have gone out and stolen. And another page says, in the dark of the night, you've gone to another home to do things that are not right. And all of your life will be evidence. And he will judge. Each person, each
creature,
we will be judged
according to our works.
But I want to read something very, very specific in this verse. He's not going to judge based on how he sees it fit to judge. He's not going to say, you are sometimes a sinner, but sometimes you are good. Go ahead. He's not going to say, that's impossible. This unknown God will judge in what? He says he will judge the world in righteousness. So this is what will happen. God judges according to righteousness. This unknown God that you may never have known in your life judges to based on your conduct. He will judge according to whether you were perfect or not. He will judge to whether or not you were completely perfect. If you lived a very holy life. And if he will judge you whether you were pure in your life. If you are innocent in your life. And you say, I don't know if I'll make this test. Yeah, it's so much so that God will judge if you even have one sin in your life. You will not pass the test. Maybe your whole life you've been perfect. But only one time in your life, you said something that was not nice. Only ever one time. It still will not, you will still be judged accordingly. Maybe you say, I've been perfect all my life. Just this one time. One time in my life, I accidentally gossiped about someone. I said some mean things about her. Does that mean I can't go to heaven? That's right. That's right. Because he judges righteously according to our works. But it says something else that I want to tell you about. This unknown God is, there's a lot to know about him, isn't there? I know you know money so good. You can tell me exactly the color of a 2000 and a 1000. You know very well how to make more. You have business tricks. We don't have to teach you about money. You know very good. But this unknown God, how much do we know about him? Because this unknown God is the one we need to know. Money will pass away. Food will pass away.
And all of these gods in the world will die. But this unknown God, the creator of heaven and of earth, is from eternity to eternity. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He has no beginning and no end. And he has three piercing persons in one God. See, now I want to tell you some more about this unknown God. Because some of you are in great fear. You say this, I've done some things in my life and it won't pass the test. I won't pass the test when I come to the judge. And maybe you say, Pastor, tell us more. Because there's no point me being here. I won't pass the test anyways. But that's why I want to tell you more about him. Will you go with me in the Bible? Listen to what it says. It says, he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. Who is that man? Unknown God, can you tell us who that man is? An unknown God, you ordained him? For what? What did you ordain him for? You see, I tell you a mystery now. This unknown God. I hope you're hungry for this information. And I hope the Holy Spirit is sanctifying it in your soul today. This one man who will be judged is his son, Jesus Christ. So he says here, whom will be judged in one, he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. So whom he hath ordained?
Yeah, I'm in the Omuzosa.
Now people, we just told you that God is a righteous judge. And we must all come before him on an appointed day. But let's be honest. Mothers, let's be honest. We're not going to pass the test. If it's based on us and our works and our righteousness, and we come before the judge, it's not going to work. We won't pass the test. Oh, I ask you if there's not a fear in your heart. That if I come before this unknown God, and I shall not pass the test, then what? What's going to happen then? It will be forever too late. You will be forever dead. Because this unknown God says, I will say to them, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, into eternal damnation.
Chifukwa uyu akunena kuti ndidzampempha munthu kuti ngati uyu usana ndimvere ambuye mtumizeni kuchonongeko chosatha.
And he will say, I was unknown to you when you were on earth.
Ngeniza kufuza kuti weyo suma ndidziwa kuti padziko lapasi.
And now I say to you, I know you not.
The Bible says they will come and they
will say, I did all kinds of wonders in your name.
I cast out devils in your name.
And God will say, I don't know you. Depart from me. How terrible is that? But now there's more to know about this verse. And Paul was telling them at Athens. He was telling them about this ordained one. One that was ordained by God. That is Jesus Christ, his son. For this unknown God has a son. Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ.
And this Savior, this son of his, was laying on the altar of God's wrath and was killed, was crucified. Why?
Well,
if you are wondering why there's one ordained here, you have to pay attention.
Because
either we will stand before a judge on our own account,
or
on the account of another. And that's this ordained one. For Jesus Christ is the only righteous one. He is the only righteous man who took the sins of his people upon him, paid the price, and is sitting at the right hand of his Father. And he's the ordained one. The only one who can come before God and be righteous. I hope you're following me.
Because
if you don't know this unknown God, you're going lost forever. If the ordained one, Jesus Christ, is not your, is standing in your place, it's going to be forever torment. For Paul is saying, when you come to the judge and your book goes open and you must be judged and you hear of all of the things that you're being judged on, and you have to say, And everything, your whole book is opened up of your life. And you have to say, unrighteous. But before God says, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, the ordained one must do something. You need to know the salvation of this unknown God, or you're going lost forever. For if you find Jesus Christ in your life today, if Jesus Christ becomes your substitute, then on this particular day, he will come and stand in front of you. And God will judge not you, but his son. He will judge his son. And his son has been judged upon Golgotha, upon the cross. And Jesus Christ will say, Father, I went to the cross for this man, for this woman. Put it on my account. Put it on my cross account. And Father says, my son, that will be done. Sinner, go into eternal glory. In the name and merit of my son Jesus
Christ,
we will be judged and have to pay. Either by ourselves, payment has to be made, or Jesus Christ, payment of his blood comes between us. This is that day, that ordained day, from which no man knows what day it is. Could be tomorrow. Are you ready to stand before God tomorrow? If you're afraid of me, what do you think is going to be before a glorious and great God? If tomorrow he comes back on the clouds,
and
you have to go and stand in front of him, what are you going to say? What are you going to say? You know what the Bible tells us? Those who did not know Jesus Christ said, mountains fall on us, hills cover us. We are terrified of this God. Because your conscience, because you don't know Jesus Christ, because you didn't know this unknown God. But people, I'm telling you about this unknown God like Paul did, that he is your creator, that he is the God of heaven and of earth, that he has appointed a day, and this day is coming, and he will judge all the nations in righteousness. Will there be one from Ntawi? Or three? Or five? For whom? For whom Jesus Christ comes and stands as a substitute in the place of you?
Okay.
You might say, Mama, help me. But you won't find Mama. Papa, where are you? Take my hand. But he won't be around. You won't have mother or father. You will have to meet God all by yourself. And you have to be examined. And you too. And each one of us will have to be. And today we're worried, are my crops going to fail? Are we going to have good crops this year? I wonder what kind of aid we're going to get this year. How much money do I have? You're worried about your marriage. I've been with this woman too long. She's no good anymore. I'm going to send her home and find another. Worried about your life. Worried about money. About food. So many altars in your life. But the greatest altar of all, the slain lamb of God, Jesus Christ. You don't know. You say, I know. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Lord. Maybe you say that. So many people do. Lots of people do. But you know what? Does God know you? Maybe you say, I know the Lord Jesus. Does the Lord know you? You know what the Bible says? The Bible says, there is no one that seeketh after God. They have all gone astray. But the mercy and love of God is that He seeks sinners. And He's seeking sinners today. Did you hear the invitation? He's seeking sinners today who will let go of all of the other altars and fall at the altar of Jesus Christ. See the Lamb of God who has come to give His life a ransom, who became the propitiation for our sins. But do you know Him? What God is ruling your life? Which God do you choose? Which God is most precious to you? For He says that there is a day coming. All these other altars, He says, will not help you. Just think for a moment. I want you to think about this. Maybe that one altar of money, what is it going to do for you? Do you think you can come to God and say, I have 10 million kwacha? Or 100,000 kwacha? Accept me? Do you think even if you had 100,000, 100 million kwacha, that God would accept that? It will just burn. You recognize this. God says, you were made from dust. And you will return to dust. You took nothing into this world, and it is sure you will take nothing out. Mama, when you die, the only thing people will give you is one set of clothes. That's it. Only because they don't want to put shame on you. If you have riches, they'll take your wallet. They won't let you have it when you die. You'll take nothing with you. Even if you
And if they let you have some jewelry, then at night time someone will come and steal it. You see, you won't take anything with you. Do you think you can offer God something when you come at his judgment seat? Do you think you can say, but I was not so bad. I did some good things in my life. No, God will say this. Do you have a substitute? Do you have someone to stand in your place? Where is your lamb? And where will Jesus Christ be? If you are disobedient here to the invitation of the gospel, he won't come and say, this is your last chance. He's coming today and to say to you and me, get rid of your altars. Burn your altars. Put no trust in money. Put no trust in witchcraft. Put not your trust in government. And that's why he says this. He says, the verse before, he says that that every man, everywhere men should repent. And that's why he's calling you and me to repentance, to turn back to God and have a substitute to go today back to God. God, the unknown God. I come to you. I never knew you. And my gods in my life never satisfied me. But I come to you, unknown God, repenting from my altars and in turning to this altar alone. I repent. I need a substitute. I need a lamb. I need thee, O Lord Jesus Christ, to take over my heart, to break my heart, confessing your sins. Oh people, maybe we won't see each other again. Maybe we will, I don't know. That doesn't matter. But I want to tell you one thing. And I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you the truth in the love of my heart. I'm not lying to you. When that day comes, that ordained day, and you stand before God, and you don't have a substitute, you have never fled to him by faith, then God will say, will judge you rightly, and will send you to eternal damnation, and you will not be able to say, I didn't know. Because today you heard that there's an altar and that there's a slain lamb on the altar. You will not be able to say,
Why didn't someone tell me that I was denying this unknown God? Why didn't someone tell me I was worshipping all the other altars in my life? My friends, you have been warned. If you don't know this substitute, if Jesus Christ does not reign in your heart, if the precious blood of Jesus Christ has not washed and cleansed you from your sins, if you do not have this substitute today in your life, it will be forever too late. But it's still time. Seek to know this substitute. Because if you die without a substitute, you will go eternally lost. If you die without this substitute, Jesus Christ, you'll be go eternally lost. You do not know in your lifetime Jesus Christ the substitute, you will go lost. Amen.
Amen.